You are Locked On Jaguars, your daily Jacksonville Jaguars podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
When the Jags come with you, Falcons, what you gonna do? Browns, what you gonna do? Carolina, what you gonna do? Them Jags coming for you. Yeah, them digging Jags, here they come.
Welcome back to Locked On Jaguars, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. This is your host, Chris Thornton. I'll be doing the main talking today because Zach is still dying. If you're alive over there, Zach, say what's up to the people.
I'm alive. I was sick last week, as you guys know. It kind of came back. Stayed sick throughout the weekend, and I woke up Sunday morning feeling like absolute trash. Still went down to tailgate at about 10 in the morning, keeping in mind that it was a cold game that started at 4:25. So realistically, I was downtown from about 10:30 until, let's call it 8:30, and that did not help. But it was worth it because the Jaguars are victorious. They have a winning record for the first time in 10 years, and I'll take getting sick in as long as I could see the Jaguars winning any day of the week.
And yes, this is a Victory Monday podcast. The Jags with a 30-24 win over the Seattle Seahawks yesterday to improve to their first winning season since, I believe, 07. It's a good time to be a Jags fan. The years of mocking and ridicule seem to be almost over. People are now realizing that the Jags are legit. And I said it yesterday. I said this is a statement game. A lot of people didn't want to recognize it as that, but this is a statement game. Prove that you're legit. And the Jags proved on all cylinders that they were, in fact, legit.
Starting with the quarterback position.
Blake Bortles, folks, in the last 6 or 7 games has been good.
More like Blake Brady, if you ask me.
I won't go. I'll let you fight off the people with that one.
I mean, I'm still, as of right now, on board with, you know, replacing him after this year because we have not seen the consistency. We've seen the flashiness, especially the past 2 games. It's been incredible how he's played. At the same time, we don't have that consistency in 4 years to rely on it. But at the same time, like, who's to say right now that he's not playing the best football of his career and looks like one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL over the past 2 weeks? It's
playing,
been incredible.
Playing the best football of his career when it matters the most.
Yeah.
Meaningful that's all, December that's big football. Time.
That's big time. It really is. I don't think he had a single bad pass yesterday. He might have had like one.
He
was on the money.
He had one questionable throw, and even that was a completion. So
that throw to Didi was the one that was a dime. The Keelan Cole touchdown, I think the long one, I think was the best that he's ever thrown in his entire life.
I genuinely
think that.
That was Allen Robinson, like 2015-esque right there. Like he corked
and not even – yeah, that throw was so perfect, and he stepped up into it and placed it so perfectly. I was in awe. Like, we didn't know how to react to that in the stands. Like, we were celebrating the touchdown, but we didn't know, like, what to say. Like, that was an incredible throw.
And that's probably play of the game for me because game's tied up, and then the Jags answer with that to immediately take the lead back. I think that was probably my play of the game. Just beautiful. Like, the announcers were saying Cole didn't have to break stride at all.
No.
Like,
no, he didn't.
He literally full speed under that thing and just kept going.
That came right down into Cole's breadbasket. And it was about a, what, 35-ish yard throw in the air?
Yeah, because what was it? How long was it? 75?
It went 75 in total. I think it was like 35 through the air.
It was a touchback, so then I feel like he caught it on the other side of the 50.
That's what I'm saying. I think he caught it at around like the 40.
Yeah, so 35, 40 yards.
That was a very just all-around great throw.
The last few weeks, Blake's like the ball that he's throwing has looked really good, like not wobbly, like lots of tight spirals.
Exactly. And his ball and his releases look quicker.
I don't know
where it came from.
Is confident Blake like
good? Well, not only just confident Blake, but the entire team is confident in Blake. We heard that yesterday. It was like everyone came out and said, like, this is the Blake that, you know, we will stand up for Blake. Like, there were so many different guys saying that. Leonard Fournette called him a top five quarterback in the league. Like, where did this come from?
I mean, it helps that Blake now has kind of a team around him that can support this.
Like, I mean,
if Blake were to play
I still view it as a quarterback should be able to elevate their team, not that the team should elevate the quarterback. At the same time, it's worked this past 2 weeks. I don't know about long-term how it would work, but these past 2 weeks, especially in this statement game, they certainly have.
And I mean, the Broncos won their Super Bowl from the team elevating their quarterback. Seattle, when they won their first Super Bowl, that was kind of, I mean, Russell was playing equally as well, if not better, but the defense definitely was a key factor in why they were there. I mean, it's not like they're dragging Blake. Like, Blake is carrying the weight now.
I think with Seattle, it was more like, yes, they have a top-tier defense. They also had a very good quarterback. Yeah. It was more like balanced. But Denver, definitely. I mean, we saw what happened. Peyton Manning almost doubled his interceptions as he had touchdowns that year and was benched for Brock. I mean, yeah, definitely that year. That year, the team elevated the quarterback.
But I mean, the first probably 5 weeks, the defense was really carrying the team, like scoring defensively and all that. And then right around the bye week, I'd probably say the Colts game. The Colts game is when the offense kind of came out.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, they scored in London, but that was kind of just like a blowout. I think the Colts game, when they shut them out the first time, was kind of the first thing where the offense showed that they could score points, like, independently.
Yeah. And
since then, the offense has been, I mean, there's some points they've been lackluster, but, I mean, all in all, it's been a pretty good balance. Like, defense.
It's clicking.
It's everything. The offensive
line being back to their full capacity helped Fournette a ton. Fournette looks healthy. The entire offense is clicking.
Yeah, Fournette probably with my second play of the game, that 13-yard run at the very end to seal it. I mean, that was a burst that I don't think he would have had last week.
I think when this defense is playing to the caliber that we know it can and the offense is clicking like it has the past 2 weeks, there's not a team in the league that I think would beat them. When they are, you know, all meshing together like they did these past 2 weeks. And I stand by that.
And how nice is it to have a kicker who's hitting 94% of his kicks? His only missed extra point is from a block, and his only miss is in the snowy conditions of Cleveland, which was only off by maybe a foot or two.
So I know we've talked about it. My only thing with Lambeau is how he doesn't really go back far in his kickoffs.
I think that's intentional.
I think it's intentional. I would also like to see him try like a, you know, 10-step back kickoff instead of a 5-step back and see if that works. Because, I mean, some of his kicks go into the end zone. A lot of them don't. But in terms of field goal kicking, like, yeah, he's perfect.
I mean, I want to say that he probably does 5-step kickoffs due to his soccer style kick. Like, I feel like that's where he generates most of his power.
Maybe. I don't know. I've never been a kicker in my life, so I don't know anything about it.
And it's one of those things where it's like, I don't know I don't know if they're intentionally having him kick it short and maybe letting the unit stop them prior to the touchback area. But, I mean, his kicking stance is the same almost every time, and sometimes he drills them, sometimes they're short, and then they attempted a few squibs yesterday. But, yeah, I think his kicking stance really is accredited to his soccer style.
What my official
prediction would be.
Yeah, no, that I mean, that makes sense. And at the same time, like, who really cares?
Yeah, like, I'll take you having not less touchbacks and more field goals. So I mean,
yeah, me too. Being near perfect.
That's a fair trade-off, in my opinion.
Mm. So I just put this out on Twitter. I genuinely believe the Jaguars win out.
I could see it. Tennessee's fumbling. There's really nobody left on the schedule. You got Houston this week. You have San Francisco next week. And then you have Tennessee on New Year's Eve. And, I mean, the Texans, Tennessee has been failing to put up points, it seems.
I genuinely think the 49ers is going to be the hardest matchup of the three.
I could also
Because on the West Coast, Jimmy G is starting to click. But I do think the Jaguars break their West Coast curse.
Who do the Titans play this week? Do you know?
I could find out real quick. Titans week 15. They are playing San Francisco.
Okay. So, back-to-back weeks, 49ers are at home. What if the Titans lose again this week and we beat the Texans? I know if we beat the Texans, we get a playoff spot. Is there any kind of division-clinching scenarios if the Titans... Is there a possible way to where by the time the Jags roll into Nashville on New Year's Eve...
I don't think so. It would have to be that the Jaguars then beat the 49ers and the Titans lose in week 16 to clinch it. Because if the Jaguars win this week, they're 10-4. The Titans lose this week, they're 8-6. You still have two games left, so it would come down to both teams. Say the Jaguars lost to the 49ers and the Titans won week 16. Then suddenly the Jaguars are 10-5. And then the Titans are 9-4. And if the Titans win again in week 17 against the Jaguars,
yeah,
and then both teams finish 10-6, the Titans would win the division because of beating the Jaguars twice. Yeah, yeah. So not this week.
And the Jags would have the lower division because the Jags are, I believe, 3-1 in the division, and the Titans are 4-1.
Yeah, yeah.
So
not this week. They can clinch the division.
Jags can go to 4-1 this week if they beat the Texans, and then if the Titans lose two, then I don't know. So yeah, I guess there's probably no clinching scenarios, but
if the cards fall their way, the Jaguars can clinch the division in week 16.
So that would require Tennessee losing their next two and Jags winning their next two.
Yep.
And then that would mathematically eliminate the Titans from winning the division.
Yep, so that would secure a top four spot in the playoffs. I'd figure probably top three.
Home field advantage.
Yep.
And then I'm sure I wouldn't say rest starters because I feel like Marone's not that type of guy at this point, because you might still be fighting for a higher seed if Pittsburgh or New England.
Doug Marone runs fake punts once every four games.
We didn't run a fake punt today, but we ran some pretty cool special teams formations.
Yeah, just in general, like, he likes to run down your throat. Like, he shows no mercy. There's no way he rests starters week 17.
Is Joe D the best special teams coordinator in the league?
I've always thought he was good.
Because I mean, you probably have to assume that he's the mastermind behind a lot of these special teams plays.
Yeah, and there's been some shaky special teams performances throughout the year. At the same time, they have a little.
How much of that is Joe, and how much of that is just players missing their own assignments, though?
That beats me. In terms of creativity, I would say that Joe is probably up there as one of the best. But there's going to be things where they'll have to look at this offseason.
Yeah, it's been definitely good. It definitely changed from since last year, that's for sure.
Well, the past 4 years, even.
Yeah, really. I remember in 15, they were like, if only we had a defense. And then last year, the defense was kind of, well, both units were just bad last year. They were, like, improving on defense, and offense was going down, and now we're kind of hitting that were hitting, they're both going up at the same time, which usually relates to success. And then special teams is now going up, so you kind of have your base of your pyramid with the top being a Super Bowl win.
You have your holy trinity. The offense, the defense, the special teams.
And they're all good. Reaching their equal, they're all equaling out, which is good. Very good. That should be, I'm going to make that into a graphic. And it's going to be the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost. And then in the middle, it's going to be a picture of Doug Marrone. Jalen can be the Father. Fournette can be the son. And Calais can be the Holy Ghost. And then Doug Marrone's in the middle.
Well, no, it's got to be
Actually, no, Josh Lambeau. Josh Lambeau's got to be the Son. So,
Or the Holy Ghost.
Jalen's the Father. Or maybe Jalen's the Holy Ghost.
No, Jalen's the Father. Okay, that's so the running joke.
Jalen is the Father. Leonard is the Son.
Lambeau is the Holy Spirit.
Lambeau's the Holy Spirit, and then it forms around Doug Marrone.
I love it.
That's going to be the official graphic. I'm going to make that into a t-shirt.
Well, I'm excited to see it and purchase it.
Perfect.
Do we have anything else left to go over?
I have a few stats to throw the people's way that might interest them.
Let's hear it.
This past Sunday, Marquise Lee hauled in 5 of his 6 targets and gained 17 of his 62 yards after the catch, and Blake Bortles had a 109.7 passer rating when targeting Marquise Lee. So that's very good.
That is very good.
Malik Jackson was the highest graded player for the Jags this past week, posting a 92.6 overall grade. He's been playing more and more at a high level the past few weeks. Against the Seahawks, he had 1 sack, a hit, and 3 hurries. And Malik Jackson has set a new personal career record in sacks in a year. He is now at 7 after breaking his past record of 6.5 that he set last year. So I would say that free agent contract that they gave him has been very good.
I would say so. And I was personally expecting Jackson's sack numbers to go down, but his pressure numbers to go up this year with having Calais in the fold, Yannick getting better. I just figured, you know, when you've got those guys playing on the edge, it's going to be harder for an interior guy to rack up sacks and more. He'll create the pressure to help make those outside guys' job easier. And not only are his pressures up, but his sacks are up too. So really, I mean, I guess I can say I was glad to be wrong. I don't know how bad of a prediction that really was, because at the same time, I still knew how valuable he'd be. He's just surpassed my expectations, and he's been incredible.
And then A.J. Boye had an 89.1 overall grade after posting his 2 interceptions.
Is he better than Ramsey? I don't know, and like, I don't feel bad in saying he is. I also don't feel bad in saying Ramsey is better than Boye. I genuinely believe they have the 2 best cornerbacks in the NFL right now. Anyone who tries to argue with you about it, or anyone that tries to argue with anyone about it, is lying to themselves.
It's such a hard... I think Boye is more fundamentally sound than Ramsey. Boye's fundamentals are top-notch. And I mean,
his technique, his
stats. I mean, everything is just like,
he's cleaner. He's cleaner, but Ramsey is flashier.
It's honestly the
perfect duo.
It's 1A and 1AA, really.
It genuinely is like the most perfect combination you could have.
It's like in running backs when you have your power back and your speed back. It's literally Boye, whose technique, and Ramsey, who's just brute strength and, like, mental.
I agree.
And that's perfectly okay, because you can move him around on people. Like, yeah. Boye's interception to bait Wilson on that Graham interception was beautiful. Trailing by about 3 yards, having Wilson think that he's open, and then to turn on the Jets and pick him off the last second, beautiful.
It really was.
Boye now sitting at 6 interceptions, tied with Kevin Byard of the Titans for league lead in interceptions, and I think he's going to get a few more over the next few weeks.
Two more until he ties Rasheen Mathis's franchise record of 8.
And Jalen and Boye have combined for 6 interceptions over their past 5 games, so the secondary's kind of they're turning it over as of late. But on his 36 coverage snaps, he was targeted 7 times, and he gave up as many receptions as interceptions he had on the day, 2 apiece. So Boye was targeted 7 times, let up 2 receptions for 8 yards, and had 2 interceptions, and posted a 0.0 passer rating when Wilson tried throwing his way. That is elite.
What makes that more incredible, that last part, this isn't the first time he's allowed a 0.0 passer rating either this year. He did it against Joe Flacco in week 3.
And on the year, is posting, I believe, like a 29.7 passer rating, which is still lower than if you were to spike the ball every play.
Lower by about 13 points. I think it was at 26 is what I saw.
And then, yeah, so elite. And I actually had a fan come into my mentions last night. We were talking about Pro Bowl voting. And he was telling me, he was talking about how Seattle had all their starters out and whatever. And he's like, most teams don't even have 5 Pro Bowlers. And I was like, the Jags probably will. And he's like,
the Jaguars have a serious case for like 7.
That's plus. What I said. I said, Telvin Smith, Calais Campbell, Jalen Ramsey, AJ Bouye, and maybe even Yannick are locks
and
to me.
Tashaun probably should be too.
And then I said there's honorable mention for guys like Tashaun.
Leonard.
Well, I'm just talking defensively. But Leonard, stuff like that. So that's like 8 or 9 good shots at a Pro Bowl. And he came to me, he said Campbell, Smith, and Ramsey will be the only guys that make it. And I was like, did Boye die? And he said, he said he doesn't get the national exposure. I didn't even know about the guy until a few weeks ago. I was like,
what?
It's not national exposure, it's just you. Because I was like, AJ Boye is leading in Pro Bowl voting right now for cornerbacks.
Jesus.
He still hasn't responded.
I'm going to need you to send me his at.
I just like, the national exposure isn't there. I was like, he signed the biggest contract in the offseason to come to Jacksonville. He's constantly getting the call because he's balling from Dion.
I know this has nothing to do with our with our podcast. However, it was just ruled that Carson Wentz is out of the year. Anyone that is listening to this pod, if you didn't know that, it has been ruled that Carson Wentz is done for the year, which will make the Jaguars' road to the Super Bowl a little easier.
I'm still saddened by this. I was very much on the Wentzylvania hype wagon. And it really sucks because I've kind of gotten into Philly Twitter as of late, the last few months, and there's a lot of good people there. I was really happy for them, but injuries have definitely been horrible this year. Probably, I've said it all year, probably the worst year of injuries I've seen. It might be ever, really. It seems like every week a key starter is out. The Jags have been pretty lucky.
They've been really lucky. Only a couple of like minor injuries to different starters, but nothing besides A-Rob.
Yeah, A-Rob. But, like,
that's it.
A-Rob started off the year, and that was kind of like a tone setter, but Jags rebounded. But yeah, I'm still hoping Nick Foles, I believe he's back with Philly. Maybe not. I don't even
know. He is.
Hopefully Nick Foles can lead them to something, because Philly at least deserves some playoff wins, or at least host a game. I know they clinched the East, so they'll probably have a playoff game, but best of luck and wishes to Carson Wentz in his recovery from his ACL tear. One of the up-and-coming quarterbacks. He's probably the best quarterback in the league at this point in the season, in all honesty. The league's not as fun without guys like Wentz and Watson and stuff like that, but they'll come back next year, and football will be fun. The Eagles come to Jacksonville next year, by the way. So,
yeah, very excited for that. As long as the Jaguars continue to do what they're doing, and if they need to upgrade the QB position, they will. The Eagles continue to do what they're doing, and Wentz gets healthy, that would be like a marquee matchup. Not next year, probably for years going forward.
That could be a Sunday Night Football type game next year.
I think so. I genuinely think so.
Philly visiting the Jags. I'm here for it. Maybe that could be a pod segment. We'll go over possible games next year and their possibilities of becoming primetime games.
We'll do that in the off season. I'm here for it. I'm here for it.
But that should just about do it for this Victory Monday edition of Locked On Jaguars. As always, follow myself on Twitter at Misto Cristofo, Zach at Zach_Goodall, and the page Locked On Jaguars at Locked On Jaguars, where we always post all of our content, tweet various things sometimes, but usually it's from our personals. Enjoy this Victory Monday. Have yourself a Maroni Bologna sandwich. And we will get back to you guys later this week with a crossover episode from Locked On Texans.